You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me a fantastic author of an amazing new book, Pain-Free Dental Deals. Bill Barrett, it's great to be with you today.
It's great to be with you too, Carrie. Thanks a lot.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. Listen, as a kid, I had a fear of dentists. I'm not going to lie. but I'll tell you what, I've been around dentists lately, and they, I mean this sincerely, they are some of the most innovative, entrepreneurial types. And that's a big group that's going to be watching this live stream today. And we're going to blast this out on YouTube. We make it into a podcast, so it's going to live forever. But Bill, why do you think entrepreneurs, first of all, why do you think so many are drawn to the dentist field?
Yeah, so I think unlike other areas of healthcare, dentists have not been held captive to managed care the way that other forms of traditional medicine have been.
Okay.
So now that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of very successful doctors who are in insurance programs or have learned how to properly navigate the Medicaid system, for example. Yes. There are people with tremendous expertise in knowing how to not only provide great care, but to be financially successful. But in terms of creativity, there is a big portion of the marketplace, the consumer, that wants great technology and great service. And what's happened is, you know, entrepreneurial dentists have figured out that there's a deliverable that they can make, that they can distinguish themselves from others, and that the practice of dentistry can be incredibly lucrative. You know, in fact, we represent people in many different areas of healthcare. And we often look at, of all of our doctors, who's really making the most money, frankly.
Yes.
And, you know, dentists are right at the top of that list. And in terms of the financial success they're enjoying, as well as the you know, freedom in terms of lifestyle and other things. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I mean, we all see the product of good dentistry every single day, a smile. Smiles are so important. They literally, you know, draw business to us. They draw relationships. If you frown, you can be, you know, almost contagious with negative energy. And the same thing is with a smile. So I have some fantastic notes here, but we're going to talk today about the entrepreneurial dentist's guide to buying, selling, and merging practices. And I'm a coach. I like to coach people all along the way. So I'm going to challenge everyone, when you're here, even if you're not in the dentistry field, first of all, if you're not, tag your dentist, because they need to hear this. So we're going to be giving away some prizes here. We're going to be giving away you know, a couple copies of the book as well. So tag your dentist. But then if you're an entrepreneur or an author, really listen up, because Bill is going to be dropping some very good points about writing, you know, in terms of like, gee, how do you write a book, you know, but also the buying, the selling, pain-free. I love the play on words, pain-free dental deals. In a way, I don't know if you thought about this, maybe this is a cheesy joke, but is your book Novocaine for business deals? I don't know.
Oh, see, that could have been my other tagline.
Hey.
So you know what it really is at the end of the day is I've been doing this for 23 years.
Okay.
And in that period of time, you see great results, you see bad results, you see,
yes,
you know, you see it all. And no matter who you are, myself included, you learn from your successes, you learn from your mistakes. And what really drove writing this book was having conversations with people over the years where I would always be sharing anecdotes with them, like, oh, well, I had this one deal where this happened, and you need to watch out when you do this because of this.
Yes.
And people would say, you should write a book about it. So
ooh,
at a certain point, you know, I said, you know, I started sketching out notes and realized, my gosh, I have so many stories. And then I realized in 23 years, I've been part of the of nearly 1,000 dental practice or dental specialty practice transitions, which is either buying or selling or partnering.
Yeah.
And I just started kind of putting it together and putting it on paper, and it just started to happen in terms of putting it out there. And the feedback has been great. And, you know, it's really, it's an educational book on the one hand, but it's not like a textbook. It's a book that gives you straightforward advice and tells you, in essence, you know, how you should do things, but also does it in the context of lots of stories of things that went well and things that didn't go so well, so that doctors can judge for themselves on how they want to proceed with things.
I love it. I'm in the table of contents right now, and let's kind of break down some of this, because if people's business is not going to be something that they retain forever, I mean, they're going to sell it, or they're going to merge it, or maybe they're even, you know, gonna buy one. But you kind of say, you know, expectations. Why is it important in the beginning to kind of set expectations from the get-go?
In terms of the transaction itself?
Yes.
So a lot of it is, what are you trying to get? You know, what is your goal? What's your end game? I always start with clients and say, you know, tell me if you could write the script of how this goes perfectly for you.
Ooh.
What does that look like? You know, that's and good. Because once I hear what they're trying to accomplish and what is success for them, I mean, what I might think is success for them could be completely different from what's in their mind. And my job is to get them to their success and to help them navigate it in a smooth way. So understanding the expectations, you know, for example, are you at a point of your career where you want to sell your practice because you'd like to retire soon? You know, that's different from somebody who maybe has built a really successful practice, doesn't want to retire soon, but feels like they've reached certain limitations in what they're capable of doing. Or, you know, they would like to have a partner because they have bigger aspirations. They don't think they can Ooh. Do it by themselves.
Yes.
There's just so many different things. It's not just about, oh, I want to sell, or, oh, I want to buy. It's, well, what are you trying to accomplish? What is the end game here that I can help you find your way to?
Kira asked the question, you know, she's saying, like, what are you trying to get? I mean, that is, that question alone just kind of slows people down, because they might have this, I'm getting older, I have to retire. But you've probably seen, Bill, that maybe they're not supposed to retire. Maybe the worst thing for a certain dentist would be to retire, and maybe the worst thing would be to keep working. Give us some of these stories without disclosing any people's names.
Sure. Well, like, for example, too, you know, there's some doctors who they might be tired of holding a handpiece and actually performing dentistry. Ooh. But they may love dentistry and still want to be a part of it. Or they may love business and they want to continue to grow their enterprise. They just don't want to be the wet fingered dentist that has to do the work. And, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, techniques where not only can you successfully manage a practice, but you can also bring in minority partners and scale a business by having folks that are partners. They're fully vested. They want to grow. They want to be more successful, and, you know, and they want to continue to practice dentistry. And, you know, so that's one model. I've also had scenarios where someone, you know, doesn't want to stop practicing dentistry, and mm-hmm. they've been very successful, but they have a bigger game plan in mind. Okay. And maybe they don't have the capital to, you know, maybe they want to own 20 practices, but they don't have the capital to do that, or they don't want to just keep taking bank loans for each practice and trying to roll it to the next one. And there's ways we've helped clients with that, where we've introduced them to folks in private equity, or not only situations where they sell or they become a minority partner, but we've had situations where, you know, they've got some special sauce and private equity looks at them and says, hey, you've gotten to 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 practices on your own with no professional business folks on your team. But you know how to find a right practice to buy or a right place to start it up. And, you know how to put deals together Sure. that are favorable and build a practice and make it better. And they'll say, let us give you our checkbook and our business acumen and the professionals that we're connected to, and you know, let us provide that for you and use your special sauce with our money, because we'd be happy to own 40% of that, and you could continue to be the majority owner.
Interesting.
Because when you get to be to 60 practices and we sell the entire thing to a large or a much larger private equity group or a bigger DSO, a dental service organization that's already in the space, you know, now that doctor has turned, you know, a great practice and a great livelihood and a lot of success into life-changing wealth.
Wow.
So there's just so many ways, you know, that's why it always starts with, what are the expectations? What it's do you like want to custom, accomplish? Yeah. What does success look like? You know, yeah. I feel like blessed in the sense that after 23 years of doing this and helping so many people, I don't want to say I have an answer for every question because none of us know it all. Right. But in this space, I feel like I virtually have an answer for every question or a path forward, a course of action where if I understand where someone wants to go, I can not only help them navigate that with advice and structure, but also relationships, you know, 23 years of relationships where when there's going to be certain people they're going to need to know to accomplish that goal that they have, and, you know, kind of opening up my relationships and contacts to the client to help them get to where they need to go is also part of it. So
that is so good. That is
it's so really good. Fun. It's a lot of fun, and I love doing it. So it's, you know, whatever the goal is for folks, for me, the fun part is helping them get there.
I want to read your bio because it's pretty impressive. Bill is the CEO, and I want you to pronounce it because I don't want to butcher it. How do you say that?
Mandelbaum Salzburg is the name of the firm.
Mandelbaum Salzburg. And co-chair of the firm's National Dental Law Center. And I love the fact that you've gotten a ton of love from people that have worked with you. You've been called a true gift to the profession, one of a kind, a lawyer who sees around corners. I'll tell you what, Bill, I realized in the last 6 months, lawyers are priceless. I mean, put it this way. You're going to pay for a good lawyer. You're going to pay worse for not a lawyer. Is this true?
Well, we get a lot of things said about us. Priceless is usually on a more of a rare list.
but I'll tell you what, my lawyer, different, you know, not dental.
Sure.
But you know, my lawyer saved me from a bad deal, like a deal that wasn't good for anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to pay that as opposed to like paying for years of a bad decision. What do you think, Bill?
No, I think that there's no question that I always tell people too, the value in a lawyer is in the counsel, the guidance, the advice, the experience. You know, at the end of the day, if I take a term sheet and I hand that term sheet to a competent attorney and say, draft me a contract, I mean, anyone with a law degree and a certain level of competence can do that. But how to structure a deal in the most favorable way, how to create a win-win scenario,
yes.
how to navigate through all the little things that could go wrong and up front in advance kind of set the course the right way. That's what, you know, a lot of times a client will come to me, new client, with a letter of intent for a transaction.
Okay.
And I'll start rattling off, did you consider this and this and this? And what about working capital? And what about, and their eyes just go like this because they've signed a letter of intent already, thinking, ooh, oh, well, it's just a letter of intent. And I like the price and I like the components of this deal, but there's so many things because they don't have the experience that they haven't thought of. So the best time to deal with a lawyer is early and upfront and in a consultative matter. The easy part is the what I'll call the papering of a deal or a transaction. I mean, you know, honestly, I don't want to demean what that is, but honestly, sure, that's not the hard. The hard part is deriving the path, the right path that's going to be successful. And you know, as that one quote you mentioned says, in looking around the corners to know, you know, exactly what what you're trying to accomplish and how to do it in the best possible way. So I do agree with you self-servingly that you know, a good lawyer is priceless, but working with them ahead of what you're going to do is what makes them priceless, I think.
I love it. I love it. I want to also mention a couple things here. The past three decades, you've advised hundreds of entrepreneurial dentists across the country and quarterbacked just as many successful practice transitions. So, Bill, it sounds to me like you are an incredible specialist. You fit a very specific client. Is this true?
So the answer is yes and no, of course. Okay. Like there's an old joke about
what a lawyer says.
Right. The old joke about lawyers is, you know, I want a one-handed lawyer because I hate when they say on the one hand and then on the other hand. In terms of my background, I started out as a corporate lawyer at one of the world's largest law firms doing transactions, because my dream as a kid was I thought I wanted to work at a big worldwide Wall Street style law firm. And I took a job at back then what was the third largest firm in the world. And I moved to New York City and I learned very quickly that it really wasn't for me. And, you know, I didn't like kind of, you know, helping some mid-level vice president somewhere earn a bonus. I shifted and went in a completely different direction because I loved dealing directly with the business owner and the entrepreneur. But I was always a good corporate generalist and transactional attorney handling many different businesses and areas. The dentistry thing is something that a lot of things in life I kind of fell into almost on accident. Okay. I was representing a consultant who was in the dental profession and on a business transaction. And it was the consultant who came to me and said, you know, I've been thinking about you and I realized that the profession I'm in is so underserved by its professionals, attorneys and accountants and other types of professionals. Mm-hmm. And someone that can bring this type of experience and knowledge to our profession would really be valuable to doctors and to, people that were trying to do business in the world of dentistry.
Sure.
And I began learning a lot about the profession and growing a practice from that point forward. And, you know, nowadays we get a call at our National Dental Law Center. We'll get a call every day. We'll have a retention of a new dentist somewhere in the United States. You know, we operate all over the country. And it's grown to the point where every day we're being retained by a new doctor. So it has become a very, very deep specialty for me and for my team. And it doesn't mean that we don't do other things. We do, but this is really a niche area. And frankly, we also have a lot of fun doing it and we enjoy the doctors and working with them and helping them achieve their goals. Dentists are really interesting people and very, as I say in the book too, you know, they're very entrepreneurial at a time when it's a great time to be an entrepreneurial dentist.
Absolutely. You know, I just asked the team to tag my dentist. So I got to give a shout out because she's entrepreneurial and I often chat. I'm trying to get her into Strategic Coach where I met you. But
sure.
But I do believe that, like I said, I used to be afraid of dentists when I was a kid. Now I really resonate with them. At least a certain type of that are, you and I were chatting before, like they're innovative. They like new tech. They want to grow. Let's talk a little bit about your law firm. I'm going to share the website here. So talk to me a little bit about what the law firm does, how people can get in touch with you. I know you have some fantastic mailing things as well. Talk to me a little bit.
Sure. Well, the firm has been in business since 1930. Okay. We've been around, we're in our 91st year. We're very much a full service law firm. So, you know, I know that term gets thrown around loosely mm-hmm. these days, the term full service, but really effectively what that means at our firm is that we have approximately 26 different areas of specialty within the firm.
Wow.
So that means we have things like, you know, employment lawyers, tax lawyers, corporate lawyers, real estate lawyers, leasing specialists, you know, attorneys that specialize in environmental law, all types of litigation. We represent banks, other types of institutions. We handle a lot of personal matters, including elder law, estate planning, you know, immigration matters. We have a robust healthcare regulatory group. So,
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was this many categories.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, and as you scroll there a little bit too, you know, it reminds me too, we also do a lot in the veterinary space. And that's a whole nother conversation about how the two businesses in many respects, one, of course, treating human beings and the other animals, but how the business model mirrors each other actually quite closely, which is interesting. But why this matters to the entrepreneurial dentist who might become our client is that they don't have to go anywhere else for anything that comes up in their legal life, whether it be for the business or personal.
That's
anything, and that's what it, really what a full service model does for you at the at the end of the day. As the consumer of legal services, you want to have one point of contact, right? You want to be able to call Bill and say, hey, Bill, here's a great thing I have going on, or here's a not so great thing going on. You know, can you help me? Yeah. And then my job is either if it's in my area of expertise, I'll handle it myself and take care of it on the spot. Or if it's something that requires a different expert with a different subject matter expertise in the firm, I'll grab them and bring them right onto the call or right to the meeting and solve the problem for the client or help them accomplish whatever they want to accomplish by having everything under one roof. And that's really the business model of our law firm. But what's interesting is as large as we are, which at this point we're approximately 90 lawyers, and with lawyers and staff, I employ about 160 people. We're also, though, a very nimble firm that has been built to service the entrepreneur. And that's really why a differentiating factor that a lot of times to have a firm of this size and bandwidth with this much expertise, you start to get into price points that are above where an entrepreneur feels comfortable or a closely held company or business or a doctor. And that's what we're able to do is deliver a high level of sophistication of our services in a broad spectrum, but do it at a price point that is acceptable to the entrepreneur. And that was really that's our firm's business model. And, you know, we've been very successful in that space. We're not trying to do the next General Electric transaction. And we're also not trying to, you know, to do a will for my, for, you know, a client who has very little assets or, you know, and we are right in that middle space where our clients are successful entrepreneurs and individuals and companies that, that need the full array of services, but want it at an entrepreneur's service level and price point.
Well, you're a humble guy. I mean, you're the CEO of that, you know, firm there. And that's no small joke. Your co-author, Casey, talk to me a little bit. We got about five more minutes, but talk to me about, you know, why partner with Casey on this? What angle did she bring? Some of those thoughts.
Yeah. So Casey is fantastic, a brilliant lawyer, you know, equity partner in the firm, also a member of the firm's executive committee. So she herself is an executive and a leader in our organization. We've worked together for a lot of years. And when I started to develop this particular practice area, she had not only particular skill and expertise as a business lawyer, but also with an LLM advanced degree in taxation. Tax issues often come up on transactions that we handle. So she not only she had the right skill, but she really had an affection for the doctors that we serve. And it became so apparent to me how she enjoyed working with the clients and very quickly developed direct relationships with many of our clients. And it really became a natural fit because we always found ourselves brainstorming about transactions or how we could better help clients or, you know, sharing ideas. So we started kind of talking about the book before it was a book, really, when we were we started talking about the different things that, oh boy, I wish I could tell clients this or tell clients that, or remember this story, remember that story. And and we basically sat down together and just started putting this all together. And it's a collaboration of both of our experiences and interactions with clients. And, you know, so it's, I'm very blessed to have such a great partner and someone who, you know, our clients love working with, and it's been a great friendship and partnership.
I see you mentioned DSO a few times.
Yes.
And, you know, for a guy like me, you know, I don't really know a lot about that, but what's a DSO? And then I understand that you're writing a book on DSOs. Kind of tell us what's next.
So DSO stands for Dental Service Organization.
Okay.
And really, this is, in essence, to prove the point that it's a great time to be a dentist or in the dental profession. Private equity and other investors have taken a tremendous interest in the profession of dentistry and dental specialty.
Interesting.
But in most states, there are some exceptions, but in most states, only a licensed dentist can own a dental practice. So for outside non-licensed investment to want to make money off of the provision of dental services, they have to form a management company, a dental service organization that has a series of contracts with dental practices. And in exchange for all the services and all the things they do, the management, the marketing, all the infrastructure, they charge fees through those contracts to the dental practice that flow up to the dental service organization. And that's how they make their return on investment. It's often referred to as the corporate practice of dentistry. It's the biggest thing in the profession right now. The amount of organizations entering this space is enormous, and it's growing and growing. And it's done a lot of things. It's pushed up the valuations on dental practices.
Interesting.
What happened was we're getting a call almost every day asking us questions. Should I sell to a dental service organization? Should I partner with one? Younger doctors, should I go to work for one? And then doctors, remember, we represent around 1,000 dental professionals throughout the country. We're getting the call saying, I don't want to be affiliated with a dental service organization, but how do I compete against them? Or we get the calls from entrepreneurial folks who say, can I create my own DSO, which we do for people, because I want to invest in dentistry and I have a friend who's a licensed dentist and we want to go out and buy practices together. And I'm going to be the financial backing and the business acumen. And my friend who's the licensed dentist will be the clinical skill that we need and the ownership.
Yeah.
And we create new DSOs. So this is a huge area in the profession right now. It is not going away. So the book that we're writing right now is all about buying, or I should say selling to a DSO, partnering with a DSO, creating your own DSO. How do you preserve the private practice of dentistry and compete against a DSO? So we're writing a book that kind of tackles it from every angle. So that's why the book's going to be entitled The DSO Decision, and it's winning answers from every angle. We're really excited about it, as it's, you know, if you read articles, even things put out by the American Dental Association, this is a segment,
it's a trend
that's just going,
it's
very quickly going up, and it's consolidation. In many respects, it's what's happened in medicine and other traditional forms of healthcare in the past, where, you know, consolidation, taking platforms and putting many, many practices together and creating full service platforms. Remember, if you have 100 practices, you buy everything better, you get better reimbursements from insurance companies, you are able to do things collaboratively, centralized billing, centralized collecting, centralized management. So there's a lot going on in this space right now. It really is.
I got to say three things about you as we close today. What I love about you, three things. Number one, you're a giver. Look at how much value Bill has given us today. And not only that, I mean, he's put decades of wisdom in here in a very consumable format. I love what Tanisha said. She said, buy a copy for your dentist. So you bet, man. Dr. Heidi Stauffer, I'm gonna get one for her. The other thing I love about it is you're passionate. I mean, folks, you know, Kara said it, you know, we can feel the energy. I mean, I've never been as interested about dentists and dental deals as talking to you. And then the third thing, you're competent. I mean, it's like, and I really do, Bill, in my mind, I like file people that say, oh, when this topic comes up, that's the person. So folks, today you heard a genius speak on this topic. Now you know. If dental deals is not your passion, you know the person who it is and how competent and how much they are a giver. Get his book on Amazon. Here's the website for the book. And then don't forget to visit, oh my gosh, their practice. It's like the one-stop shop. I mean, I even saw in there cybersecurity, which I'm pretty passionate about. So good job, Bill. It was an absolute pleasure. And thanks for writing this book for us.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm very grateful for all you've done to help us. And, you know, look forward to doing this again with you. We'll have awesome. To keep writing. We'll have to keep writing new books.
Love it. Love it. All right, my friend. Take care, all right, take everybody. Care. We'll see ya.
Be well.
Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.